Welcome back to Community Connections. I've got Saskia with me from Forever Friends. Now, we've spoken to Saskia a few times. There's a few things I want to talk to about her today. But first of all, welcome to Saskia.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me back.
Not a problem. Now we've got it all sorted out. We're on the right microphone. Now, I believe you've had quite a big event, 15 years since you started.
Yeah, Valentine's Day marked our 15-year anniversary of saving lives. So we were very excited to reach that milestone. Not many charities can stick it out for as long as we have. And we're very proud to say we've saved over 12,000 lives in 15 years. Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Has there been times along the way where you've wondered if you'd make it?
Oh, always. Yesterday. it's a very, very hard job, but our volunteers are just so passionate, so dedicated, and, yeah, make sure we get out of bed every day and respond to the phone calls and the emails and all the cries for help for animals in our community.
Now, just before we go on, we just need to mention, because I know we've got a few new listeners all the time, Forever Friends, you actually go and get animals that are almost at the end of their life, aren't they? They're in often in council pounds, and they're getting very close to the end where the council are going to say, sorry, but we're going to put you down.
That's correct. So, yeah, we work with a lot of country pounds where they often don't have an adoption program for the unclaimed strays or the surrenders, and we take animals in from RSPCA, Lost Dogs Home, Animal Aid, and often those are ones that they can't or don't want to work with anymore. They might have medical or behavioural issues, normally caused by us humans. We do a lot of damage to animals, so we love to specialise in the animals that have no more chances left. And to give them a chance, and yeah, we're really proud of specialising in those cases, because often they're the most deserving of animals. They've, you know, been the ones that have suffered the most neglect or abuse.
Are they often older ones that where people just don't want to adopt an older pet, or is it just that they do have these behavioural problems?
No, it can be puppies, it can be neonate kittens who've, you know, just been dumped in a plastic bag at the local park. It's just appalling, the things we see. You know, we've had a dog come in almost terminally ill with stab wounds. It's just horrific what
just
what
by
happens.
Somebody stabbed them.
Yeah, so it can be any and all ages, all species, and however, it's hardest to find homes for older animals. Once we've done that rehabilitation, often they stay in care for much longer than we'd like, because people do seem to want the youngest or the most healthiest
little
animal.
Fluffy little kittens and all
cutest,
that.
Yeah, the cutest, the fluffiest, yeah.
So when you take these animals in, and I know this, but I just want to put it out to the listeners, you don't necessarily want to keep them forever, do you? I mean, part of what you want to do is get whatever the problems, that whether they're medical or whether they're psychological or whatever, cured or fixed or under control, and then you'd like to be able to move them on to people to have them for forever animals, wouldn't
you? Yeah, forever homes, that's absolutely right, because the longer they stay in care, they take up places of other animals waiting who are in need. So, yeah, if we can find those animals a home, for example, if you adopted a dog or a cat from me tomorrow, Alan, that creates, you've saved that life, and then it creates space for me to save another one in its place. So it's a twofold benefit to finding homes.
With these animals, you say that you do a lot with the country. So how do these animals get to you?
There's various means. Some country pounds will send out an email with all the names and photos and descriptions of the animals they've got that need rescue.
Right.
Other times there's...
Stop you there for a minute? When you get that email, are they basically at the end of the time that the council's not going to keep any longer?
Yeah, correct. So it's pretty horrific to look at these photos of these desperate little faces and know that you can't save them all. So, we just have to, you know, save as many as we can and hope for the best for the other ones.
Yep. So you hear from the council... So now, how do you get those animals from there down to you?
So we would normally reply to that email or phone them up and say, we can take, you know, Betty and Bill.
Yep.
And then there's this fantastic initiative called the Northwest Run, which comes from pretty much the border of New South Wales and Victoria. There's some incredible volunteers that get up at the crack of dawn every Thursday, and they go from pound to pound with a big trailer. So they start, you know, in the Mildura area, and they go through, you know, Swan Hill, Broken Hill, and they end up in Melbourne at the end of the day. So they've basically gone to each country pound and picked up as many animals as the rescue groups in Melbourne can take.
Yep.
And we meet them at a BP service station in near Calder Park, and we pick up the animals that we've committed to.
Oh, so they bring not only yours but other people's
Correct.
Animals.
So yep. all the rescue groups converge in this car park and we'll catch up and have a yarn while we're waiting, and then this huge trailer comes in with lots of barking going on.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see the dogs and cats getting out. Obviously, the cats are in carriers, but the dogs get out. Some are terrified, can barely walk. Some are just so excited that they've arrived. Yeah. So it's a really moving experience.
Yeah. So they're all on. Is that an organised group? It'd have to be.
Yeah, it's a highly organised weekly activity. There's a particularly special lady called Therese who does a lot of that organising from home. She connects rescues with each pound,
right.
makes sure we get out as many of those lives as possible. So I'd love someone to do a TV doco on it one day. It's an incredible undertaking, and it's all volunteer run, and this has all been done without any government or council help.
So it's just funded by the volunteers themselves?
Funded by the volunteers themselves, yeah.
Gee, that's terrific. All right, I want to talk about that a bit more, but I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
To the beat of my heart.
I'm talking to Saskia from Forever Friends. There are a few things that Saskia would like to do, and we're going to talk about a few of those as we go along. So have your paper and pencil ready at about 2:55, because she'll tell you how you can get contact or where you can donate and all sorts of things. But first of all, you are looking, we've talked about this Northwest Run where they bring them down into Melbourne and you and some of your people go and pick them up. But you're not necessarily looking for people for transport there, but you're looking for other sorts of volunteers for transport, aren't you?
We are so desperate right now for more people to help transport animals to and from the sanctuary up the road here at Gladysdale. We've got our own vet clinic there on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Yeah. And we've got lots of lovely dogs, cats, puppies and kittens in foster care around Melbourne suburbs, anywhere from, you know, Mentone to, you know, Box Hill. And we desperately need volunteer transporters to help pick them up, bring them to our vet clinic and then take them home later, or just bring them one way.
All right. So what do they need? What do you need a person? Do they need a station wagon? Do they need a truck? Or do they just need a car?
Just a car in many cases. Sometimes a station wagon's a big help or a ute, but a lot of the time we're needing just to pick up cats or kittens in a couple of carriers. So you don't need a big car. Yep. You don't need to be super physically fit or anything. It's just often it's an early start, and a lot of people don't like getting up early, I've found out. But if you're an early bird out there, I would love to hear from you.
So do they take them to the vet? Do they stay with the animal and take them home, or do you have somebody else take them home?
We would normally have someone else do the afternoon run back.
So if you've got, I'm just trying to get at, so if you've got a person who doesn't particularly want to get up early,
they could do the afternoon. Yes, absolutely. We're always looking for people around 4 o'clock in the afternoon to do the run home as well.
Right. So what do they need to do? Just be a person with a car?
Pretty much, and be a good driver, and happy to chat to the animals while you're on the road, send them a song, that's about it.
Do they have to have any police checks or not working with children, would they, or do they?
No, not for that transport. We just get you to fill out a form on our website and need to cite your driver's licence, and that's about it.
Yeah, you need to cite the driver's licence. I know somebody who once worked for about 6 months and didn't have a licence until the police pulled them up. Another story. So I guess, first of all, we've just had these horrific bushfires. Now, without even looking on TV, you know a lot of animals can't get away because fires come and, you know, they come at 100 kilometres an hour, some of those winds, so they're moving on. Mm. Some animals can't, and unfortunately some perish. But a lot of them do get injured. So what happens to those? Can you take them in, or what happens there, Saskia?
So in things like bushfire, natural disaster, a lot of the time animals are the forgotten victims. Yep. And, of course, you know, our hearts go out to the people who've lost homes and or worse. But if you're insured, you rebuild. If you're an animal who's been, you know, badly injured, badly burnt, often there's no one there to help you. So we partner with a wonderful organisation called Vets for Compassion. They provide the veterinary care at our sanctuary for our animals. Right. But they also respond to natural disasters. So Vets for Compassion's volunteers were out in the hours and days and weeks following the Longwood fires. They've just gotten back. And a lot of their volunteers are just on the ground to assess and triage burn victims, and that's native animals as well as farm animals.
Well, I was just going to say that, I mean, you've added the farm animals, but if you've got a pet, pardon me, and they've been injured in a fire, then you're there to take them to the vet and do whatever has to happen. But if you're an animal that just lives in the wild, nobody's animal, like they're just a natural in their natural habitat, then I guess there's nobody there to look after them at all, is there?
Correct. So these volunteers who do go in, they're often vets and vet nurses, and they're colleagues of ours, they will find animals who just urgently need euthanasia. Their suffering is so bad and they can't be treated. And, you know, to end that suffering is as compassionate as to rescue them. And often once the fires move through, there's no food, there's no leaves to eat, there's no grass.
Oh,
so a lot of the burns victims are also starving. So it's horrific that a lot of the work they do in the days and weeks following the fires is just euthanasia. But I know the team that was there the last few weeks, they did manage to save three koalas and some joeys.
And some of those, well, you said they're all volunteers, aren't they?
Correct. They are all volunteers. And, you know, having to make these terrible calls out there in the burnt surroundings, and nine times out of ten it's euthanasia, but at least they're sparing that animal more suffering.
Well, they could suffer for weeks otherwise,
correct,
couldn't they? And the outcome's still going to be the same.
Absolutely,
I mean, it's different if where animals are being put down just for convenience sake, but this is not. I mean, if they're going to suffer for two or three weeks, I mean, that's just horrific.
Absolutely. We wouldn't want to do that ourselves.
You wouldn't do it to a human. I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. But as I say, please keep your paper and pencil ready, because around 5 to 2, I'm sure Saskia will be able to find a job for you if you'd like to volunteer. Saskia, we were talking about volunteers going at, well, if they're an early riser, they can go and pick up these little critters and take them up to your vet for you, or if they're a late riser, they can always go and take them back in the afternoon. But apart from the transport, because not everybody wants to be driving around using their car, but you have other positions, no doubt, up at the sanctuary? Not at the sanctuary, but at your place.
Yeah, the sanctuary is the hub for Forever Friends. So we're always desperate for helpers at the sanctuaries, and we can pretty much accommodate any skill level.
I was going to ask you
talent.
What skill level.
Yeah. Look, if all you can do is cuddle a kitten, we want you. If you are relatively fit and can do some dog walking, we want you. But there's plenty of things that don't take a lot of fitness.
So you can actually come up and just...
Just sit with the animals, scratch some bellies, literally.
Or take the dog for a walk.
Absolutely. We're always looking for dog walkers. We've got some lovely trails through the forest on the property. You can even just take a dog for a drive, a shelter dog who's been there for months. Yeah. You can put them in your car and just take them for a little cruise around, have their little nose out the window, give them some, you know, new sights and sounds. So there's things like that. We also are always looking for handy men and women, people that might be good with, you know, a drill or fixing a fence. And then, you know, there's more sort of strenuous labour tasks too, like mucking out the stables, picking up horse poo. So there's something for everyone, I promise.
if they turn up, you'll find something for
absolutely.
Them to do.
Absolutely. You can water the veggie garden and, everything.
So you grow your own vegetables up there too, do you?
We've just started growing our own veggies for the animals to eat. Yeah, and I hope you're listening, Deb. Deb's one of our wonderful gardeners who's helped start the veggie patch. And, we're growing some spinach and things like that for the sheep and the goats for the first time. So
how
we'd love
many
to
animals
expand
have
that.
You got there at one time, Saskia?
At any one time, if I include all the critters, even the battery hens we've rescued, anywhere from 80 to 100. Yeah.
Gee, that's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot of little lives, yeah.
And does that include those that are out at foster care, or have you
No, we've got hundreds more animals in foster care all over Victoria. So we've on any given day, we probably have, a good 500 animals in care.
The ones that are in foster care, are they there just until you can find a home for them, or some of them in long-term foster care?
Yeah, some animals aren't adoptable for a medical maybe or a behavioural reason and will stay as a permanent foster. And we always need those sorts of foster carers too, who are perhaps willing to take in a very elderly animal and just give them a loving home for the last weeks or months.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a really important role as well. But the vast majority of our animals are in care waiting for adoptive forever home.
Do you find that you ever get an animal that you just can't cope with? Like they've either just, would they have a natural trait right from the day one, or would it be that they've been treated so badly that you just can't do anything with them?
Very rarely. For example, we've never euthanised a cat for a behaviour problem in 15 years. So that's, an indication of our success rate.
Yep.
With dogs, we'd probably have perhaps one dog a year that we've had to give up on who just was unsafe for the community.
Yep.
But if you were to count them, over 15 years, very few.
That's not much, is it?
Correct. So we're really proud of that success rate.
You should be too.
Yeah.
So I guess we're talking about volunteers that can pick these little critters up and take them up to Healesville.
Gladysdale,
sorry. They can take them home, or they can either bring them up and take them home, or one can bring them up, one can take them home. So there's a lot of opportunities there. They can come and work around the sanctuary, and from anything from dog walking to cuddling animals to doing
cleaning,
a bit of hard labour.
Yeah.
But I guess you're also still looking for foster carers as well.
Yeah, so foster caring is the lifeblood of what we do. We only have a small number of places that for dogs and cats at the sanctuary. So 95% of dogs and cats that we have in care require a foster home. And opening your heart and home to a foster animal is such a rewarding experience. And we find that people who already have an existing dog sometimes really benefit from fostering another dog. If your dog is social, it might love a friend for a few weeks. And other people, fostering's a great experience if they have no pets at all. They might be wanting to trial out what it's like to have an animal. So a lot of foster carers start out just to dip their toe in the water of pet ownership. Yep. And if you fall in love with your dog or cat or rabbit or guinea pig, we do exotic animals as well, you can apply to adopt your own animal.
So one that you've already got.
Exactly. If it fits in well, we're very happy to talk to you about making it permanent.
All right. So I've got to take another quick break, and then we want to expand this a bit more too. Talking to Saskia from Forever Friends. Now, Saskia, I hate to talk about money. You probably are happy to talk about money, but let's be honest, everything costs money. No matter all the volunteers in the world, at the end of the day, these critters, big and small, all need to be fed, and that costs money. Let's be honest.
Not just the feeding, but the medical care. So even though we've got our own vet clinic, we have to, of course, pay our wonderful staff.
Yep.
They've got their families, and we've got to pay for the medicines and the anaesthetics, and it's a huge challenge.
So what do you get in the way of government funding?
Nothing, unless we're lucky enough to apply for a grant. But when you apply for a government grant, you're applying against all the other large animal welfare organisations in Victoria. So we have to
know exactly what to say.
Yeah, and they've got paid grant writers and professional grant writers, and whereas I'm tapping away at 11 o'clock at night trying to meet the midnight deadline and trying to sound articulate. So it's really hard to go up against everyone else in those grant apps.
So I guess, let's just expand this a little bit. I guess there is two ways that you would like to be helped. I guess, money, people could donate to you, and we'll give them the opportunity towards the end as to how they're going to find out about that. But I guess if there are other people that are listening that have food, pet food, would you like that, or do you need to buy your own so you know what you're getting?
We are really well covered for dog food donations. We're always desperate for more wet cat food donations.
What's a wet cat food?
Wet fat cat food. So tinned food, for example, or the cat pouches. Dry cat food we sometimes get a bit of. But, yeah, cat litter and wet cat food, wet kitten food is always something we're desperate for.
Anything else?
Oh, look, it's really, if I'm totally honest, the biggest struggle is just cash, not having enough donations at the moment. I think the cost of living crisis has affected a lot of people that normally were generous. And so, yeah, every month we are just flying by the seat of our pants, hoping to stay afloat, to be honest.
And I guess is there another avenue of your business, and it is a business, whether you like it or not, because and when I say business, you've got to be able to pay your bills, otherwise nothing happens. Are you also always looking for people, apart from we've asked about volunteer transport drivers, we've asked about volunteers to come and help at the sanctuary and work with you, we've asked about people who want to donate money, but are you also desperate for foster carers for animals, or have you got plenty?
Definitely always need more foster carers. So, yeah, and you know, you can be very specific about the sort of animal you want to foster. You might just want to help with some guinea pigs, or it might be just kittens during kitten season.
All right, so I just want to stop you there for a minute, because you go over it too quickly.
Yeah.
Tell me the sorts of animals. Pardon me, that you want foster carers for?
Well, we are an all-species rescue, so we most of all need dog and cat carers, and that, of course, includes kittens and puppies. And we also love to help rabbits and guinea pigs. Pounds and shelters are full of rabbits and guinea pigs.
Are they?
Yeah, so we need more exotic carers as well.
Why would people be dumping rabbits and guinea pigs, because they're not an expensive item to keep, are they?
No, but I think a lot of people don't de-sex them, so they breed them at home, and suddenly, you know, 2 becomes 12 and 12 becomes 20. So, yeah, that's a big problem, is just people breeding animals at home, and then it becomes, you know, the problem of the pounds and shelters and rescues like ours.
Oh, I wouldn't have never thought of that.
Yeah.
So they just let them breed and then all of a sudden, you've got miles too many.
There's an explosion, yeah. And then there's just people that, you know, just get sick of having a pet, which is just horrible, because these little lives depend on you. And, sometimes people get sick of picking up the poo or buying the food, and that's devastating, because...
All right, so we're with the little critters.
Yeah.
And let's keep going. How much further do you want to go in the way of foster carers for what sort of other animals?
Well, those are the main species we're looking for carers for. Yeah, we do farm animal rescue, but we try and accommodate most of them at the sanctuary.
Yep. Not many people want a horse or a cow, do they?
Correct, or a piggy in the backyard. Good to have some more chicken carers, though, too.
So do you have pigs?
We've got 9 lovely piggies for adoption, yep. With very cute tummies for scratching.
Somebody told me that they make a good pet. Is that true?
They're beautiful creatures. They're very gentle, they're affectionate, and very clever. You can teach them tricks.
Oh, the pig, can you?
Yep, they're smarter than dogs. They're actually smarter than dogs. You can teach them to sit and play and, all sorts of things. I haven't had the time to do it, but...
I didn't think pigs were that intelligent.
They are super intelligent. That's why it's just devastating how we treat them in society.
Didn't know that. So you could actually teach a pig to do a trick.
Absolutely, yeah. Have a look on YouTube. There's some incredible piggy tricks on there. They're incredibly smart. They reckon about the intelligence of a 3-year-old child. So if you think of how articulate a 3-year-old can be, it's impressive.
Now, I need to ask this, though. If people are listening, I mean, out here, people are on a few acres, it'd be all right. But would you be allowed to keep a pig in the backyard?
No, but you'd probably have luck if you had 2 or more acres, yeah.
Would you? So to have a pig, do you have to get a permit? Like, how do they know that you've got a pig?
I think every council can be different. So, yeah, I just check on a council's website, honestly.
Right.
Yeah, the biggest issue with pigs is that they love to dig up everything. So if you've got a prized lawn, it's probably not the best choice. But if you want some aeration of your soil and to some weeds cleared, they will help you with that beautifully.
I've got to take another quick break, but before we do, I've got to ask you this. I know we were going through a period a few years ago where people were buying pets, particularly dogs and cats, giving them to people as a great Christmas present without asking the person whether they wanted it, and then a few months down the track, people just said, I don't want this anymore. and they were dumping them. Is that still happening, or have we started to stop doing that?
It's a lot better, I have to say. Yeah, we do get a lot of surrender requests from the community when they don't want or want their animals anymore, but it tends to be more before Christmas, would you believe?
Is it? Because people want to go away.
Because they want to go away and they don't want to pay for boarding, which is really, really sad. Yeah, it's awful.
I mean, they take the love of the animal, but then as soon as it doesn't suit them, they want to get rid of the animal.
An inconvenient family member, yeah.
Not good. All right, we'll take a quick break. Now, when we come back, this will be our last break. Have your paper and pencil ready, and Saskia will tell you how you get involved. We've given you all sorts of opportunities. You can drive these pets around. You can pick them up and drop them off. You can be a foster carer. You can go up and work at the sanctuary. So there are heaps of ways that you can help them out. So please have your paper and pencil ready.
Kitchen on Boxing Day, I held you swaying in my arms to Marvin Gaye. Our Christmas hand turned green by New Year's Eve. We weren't hungry anyway. Now sometimes we see each other on the street, maybe at a hotel or somebody. We say hello, then we have to go. I can't believe we were married, that we were with. Our houses were a shambles, I love conspiracy. Your hand was always down my pants before our guests could leave. They didn't like our drugs, our children or our dogs, the way we made it up each day. Now the kids have grown, we talk on the phone. If one of them is sick or needs some money, our words are dry, so measured and polite. I can't believe we were married, that we were with. Someone you come into my mind, the one I knew with your certain little cries. You're not the only one to come rushing in. It's like a party line. Now sometimes we see each other on the street, maybe at a concert or somebody. We say hello, talk about the show. I can't believe we were married. Yeah, we say hello, then we have to go. You send your regards to all my family, and the years have changed even the sound of your name. I can't believe we were married, that we were.
And that's Paul Kelly. I can't believe we were married. I was talked through that, so I'm not too sure what he was saying. Anyway, Saskia, we've given people plenty of opportunities to be able to volunteer, whether it be transport, picking these critters up, or taking them home, or picking them up and taking them home. So if you're an early person or a late person, you can cover both those. There's the opportunity to come and work up at the sanctuary. There's the opportunity to foster care. And for people who are listening, there's the opportunity to donate dollars particularly. So how are people going to find out more about... And I should just mention, you were saying before about all the emails you get. Now, there may very well be some people at home who were very capable at admin because that's what they did for their living. They're retired now. So I guess you could even use those.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, people who might be good with spreadsheets and or Gmail, Google Docs. We've got all this technology that we're trying to get our heads around, and sometimes we're not that clever at it. So always looking for admin helpers as
and
well.
And people to help you with the with no doubt the emails to sort out which ones you need to act to and others that you don't.
Yeah, helping us reply to our members of the public. So yeah, there's roles that people can undertake from home as well.
So how are they going to find out more?
Well, the first thing, of course, is the digital world. I'll give the website address first, www.foreverfriends.
Is that all one word?
One word, foreverfriends.org.au. And our email address is info@foreverfriends.org.au. And I'll also give our message service for our phone number, because not everyone's online, I understand that, and that's 0412 618 718.
That's 0412 618 718.
Correct.
Pardon me. And look, there are plenty of opportunities, and I guess, are you going to find that as these bushfires, pardon me, are now sort of still with us a bit, will you find that there'll be more animals turn up at the council pounds?
It's quite possible, yeah. If people are finding, the cost of rebuilding really high and they can't afford to feed their animals, we would definitely see an increase in surrenders. I know a lot of farmers are unable to afford feed for their animals, which is really sad. So, demand for our services will always continue to increase around times of natural disaster.
Yeah, it's not going to get any easier.
Not at all. Floods or fires, it all affects animals equally.
Yeah, well, I've got to be honest, and I guess a lot of people would think the way that I did. We tend to think of the animals, the pets and that, but, I mean, the ones in the natural habitat, which you alluded to before, I mean, I never thought of it. It just didn't come into my mind that all of a sudden you could have a lot of animals with no food.
Correct. Yeah, the fire just burns every tree, every blade of grass. So even if they survive the fire, they might not survive starvation.
And the other issue is, and it's terrible to say it, but it's true, the fire isn't in a 3 or 4 acres. It can be thousands of acres that have been burned. So it's not as though an animal could hop or walk or do whatever they did.
Yeah, just go down a bit further and find a green pasture.
Yeah, three or four k's down the road. I mean, it could be 50 k's down the road easily.
Absolutely. And if they've got burns on top of that, it's a horrific way to go.
Yeah, it's not good. Look, it's great to talk to you. I find it a bit depressing. Pardon me, mainly because it annoys me and distresses me that people can have animals, and I'm not talking about the natural animals now, I'm talking about pets, and then either mistreat them or just say, it's time to go. I mean, all our little critters give us the willies at times, they annoy us, but we will just put up with it because... we probably give them the...
Yeah, they put up with us, right? They're always happy to see us at the end of the day, even when we're in a bad mood. So we do owe them that love and care. But at least there's a safety net. Groups like Forever Friends are there for those animals. We just need the community to keep supporting us to support them.
Yeah, so you can look after them, because these little critters can't look after themselves, and particularly if they're not in their natural habitat. I mean, it's probably a bit different for the ones that are out in the wild, because that's how they survive and have always survived. But I mean, once an animal's been part of a household for a few years, just to turn them out is just, dump them is just despicable.
It is, and some of those animals, severely traumatised by that, but. I think our volunteers and people like myself keep going because we can turn them around. We can teach them that love and care and comfort is there again. And you watch them go from fear to trust and from pain to joy. And it's a wonderful, rewarding work.
And every now and again, you see one on Facebook, don't you, where they've been picked up and they're just so traumatised, they just sit in a corner and they won't react with anyone, and then often you see them later and they're just running around all over the place.
Exactly.
You know?
They learn to trust again, and that's just a beautiful journey to be part of.
I'll bet. Look, we wish you well. I hope you get plenty of volunteers, because you definitely deserve them. And we've given people plenty of opportunities today. We haven't always covered as wide as what we have today. I mean, there's just anything that you can do. You can drive, you can pick them up, you can take them home. I know I'm repeating myself, but look, there are so many different ways that you can help out Forever Friends. So look, get onto that website, the three W's, Forever Friends, all one word, .org.au, or give them a ring on 0412 618 718.